Hello, everyone, and welcome to Medium Cool, a movie podcast. I'm your host, Austin Glidden, and as always, you can find us on social media by searching Medium Cool Pod on Instagram. You can also email us at mediumcoolpod@gmail.com. I am having quite an interesting past few weeks. I just want to say real quick before we kick this off, this is going to be a bit of a shorter episode because work has been kind of crazy. Someone left our department, and you know, we've been just kind of scrambling around getting things done, offboarding this person. They were a very valuable, kind of encyclopedic mind type of person, so we're just trying to get as much as we can. And through all of that, it's just been a very, very, very busy week. However, I did get a chance to squeeze in the new Ethan Coen film, and by new, I mean it came out at the end of February, and I'm just now getting around to it, Drive Away Dolls. So I thought today I would just do a solo review where I talk a little bit about the Coen brothers and Drive Away Dolls. I'll just leave it at that, I guess. At the end, I'll talk a little bit about, in the outro, about what's coming out this week and stuff, but we're going to keep this short and sweet this week, and then we will probably be getting back to the Medium Cool Movie Review series and try to finish that out here pretty soon, at least for this kind of part one of that series, and move on to some new stuff. Plus, summer's coming up, so we're going to be getting into that. I also still need to watch Challengers, which is you know, one of the kind of big name, not big name releases, as if it's like some big AAA movie, but I mean, like, it's one of the big talked about movies of the year. It's a lot of people's number one right now. I was lucky enough to get a copy of it, so I'm going to check that out and see what happens with that. And I hope to review that on here as well. Also, I had someone hit me up on Instagram. And by hit me up, I mean Medium Cool Pod on Instagram. It goes by the name of Aj. I think I pronounced that correctly. And said, hey, man, you got to watch Godzilla Minus One, basically. One of my favorite movies of last year. Was so awesome. And there's a lot of reasons business-wise and all the fucking film industry politics shit. But that has just been unavailable for a while. I finally have a copy of it. So I will be watching that and reviewing that sometime soon. Very, very excited to kind of go back to that one. So all that said, I hope you enjoy my thoughts on Drive Away Dolls. And I'll be back with that in just a second. Drive Away Dolls from 2024, directed by Ethan Coen, co-written by Ethan Coen and Trisha Cook. Cast, Margaret Qualley, Geraldine Viswanathan, Beanie Feldstein is like hilarious. Joey Slotnick, I don't know why I'm struggling reading names. Why do I always, I feel like so much pressure doing the names. I don't know why. Joey Slotnick is awesome, actually, in this movie. I love his look and just his overall vibe. CJ Wilson, Coleman Domingo, Bill Camp, and then small roles by Pedro Pascal and Matt Damon. It was released February 23rd, 2024, but it is streaming now on Peacock, which is how I watched it. And before I do a synopsis or talk about the film specifically, I want to talk a little bit about Joel and Ethan Coen, commonly known, of course, as the Coen brothers. And, you know, I just think that they are an American filmmaker duo, just completely renowned for their distinctive and influential contributions to cinema. I think they're absolutely a joy, typically, are so talented. Their collaboration has produced, I mean, what, a wide array of critically acclaimed films, is to say the least, known for their unique blend of dark humor, intricate plotting, and memorable characters. The Coen brothers have seamlessly alternated between genres. They've demonstrated a remarkable versatility in their storytelling. And the Coen brothers began their filmmaking career in the 1980s, and Joel typically served as the director while Ethan was a producer, typically. But they really just shared a lot of the responsibilities, you know, especially with like writing and editing and things like that. And so their debut film, Blood Simple, which is excellent, by the way, was a neo-noir thriller that showcased their penchant for suspense and dark humor. The film was well-received, establishing them as promising new voices in independent cinema. And then their second film, Raising Arizona, also awesome in a very different way, was a stark departure from the grim tone of their debut. This quirky little comedy about an unlikely couple who kidnap a baby in the hopes of starting a family and, you know, demonstrating their ability to blend humor and absurdity. The Coen brothers really killed it and made this kind of a recurring element in their work. And then you get into the 90s, the boom of the Coens, I would argue, where, you know, this was a really prolific decade for the Coen brothers. It was marked by several critically acclaimed films. Miller's Crossing from 1990 is one example, a stylish gangster film, you know, really fully cemented their reputation for crafting intricate plots and complex characters. In 1991, they actually won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival for Barton Fink, a surreal story about playwright suffering from writer's block. And I mean, the film was praised in its time for the enigmatic narrative that they had and the rich symbolism. It is an absolute joy to watch. I think for some people, it takes a minute to get into it. I love it from beginning to end, but it does kind of slowly creep you in. But man, I haven't met anybody yet who really loves film who has not like kind of fallen in love with that movie. But one of my all-time favorite movies of all time, Fargo, 1996. This was a major breakthrough, earning the Coens widespread acclaim and multiple awards, including Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. So this darkly comic crime story was set in Minnesota. You know, it became one of their most iconic films and was celebrated for its blend of humor, violence, and memorable performances, particularly by Frances McDormand, who played the pregnant cop, detective, whatever, and she was freaking awesome. So they're already in the 90s showing their versatility, but in the 2000s, they even go more into that and a little bit more genre experimentation, I'd say. In the 2000s, the Coen brothers started exploring various genres like O Brother, Where Art Thou, which is a loose adaptation of Homer's The Odyssey set in the Depression-era South, and was notable for its unique soundtrack and quirky narrative. I mean, this is a wacky movie, but it's also awesome. Really, really good. In 2007, talking about their versatility, they released No Country for Old Men, a modern Western thriller based on Cormac McCarthy's novel. The film was a critical and commercial success, winning 4 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Adapted Screenplay, and its stark depiction of violence and moral ambiguity resonated with audiences and critics alike. This is one of my favorite films of 2007, and I think 2007 was like the last truly freaking great year. There are tons of 5-star movies that came out that year, man. And that's more than I can say for most years. I mean, that year is real good. 1954 is really good. 1957 is really good. There are several years in the 80s that are real good. Same blah, blah, blah. But dude, this one kills. No Country for Old Men is right up there among the best. And then in the 2010s, you start getting into things like True Grit, which was a remake of a classic Western, and this was both a commercial hit and critical darling, and it got 10 Academy Award nominations. Inside Llewyn Davis, 2013, it was a poignant exploration of the 1960s folk music scene in Greenwich Village. It was showcasing the Coens' ability to blend character study with rich atmospheric storytelling. And then Hail Caesar, not one of my favorites, but I don't hate the movie, from 2016, was a comedic homage to 1950s Hollywood filled with, you know, the Coens' trademark wit and satirical edge. So, you know, that's just like a quick run through. I'm kind of making a point here, though it's a loose point, but I just want to talk about all this crap, so leave me alone. So all this to say, the Coen brothers are known for their meticulous craftsmanship and their collaborative working style. They write, direct, and edit their films together, often under the pseudonym Roderick James, for their editing work. And their films frequently feature recurring themes of fate, morality, and the absurdity of human existence, all wrapped into a distinctive blend of humor and darkness. And one thing that you'll notice with Coen Brothers movies, a lot of the same cast returns. They have a very distinct directing style toward actors. Actors act a very specific way in Coen Brothers movie. Watch O Brother, Where Art Thou? Watch Burn After Reading. Watch Fargo. I could just name over and over. Miller's Crossing, The Man Who Wasn't There. I mean, lots of movies. If you watch them, there's a very specific style, Raising Arizona being another. So Joel and Ethan Coen have, you know, left an indelible mark on contemporary cinema for sure. Their ability to navigate different genres while maintaining a unique voice has earned them a dedicated following and critical acclaim. And the Coen brothers' films are celebrated for their sharp dialogue, memorable characters, and inventive storytelling, making them one of the most influential filmmaker duos in modern cinema. I think that goes without saying. I mean, they absolutely, unequivocally are. Then, in 2021, Joel Coen did the unthinkable and released The Tragedy of Macbeth, which he directed solo. All this crap. I just took like the freaking 6 or 7 minutes talking about the Coen brothers, and they are no longer the Coen bros. It is just Joel Coen. And I was kind of floored by this. And listen, hey, I love The Tragedy of Macbeth, so no complaints here. That was in my top 10. Unfortunately, I saw it after we did our top 10 episode, but that creeped into my top 10 after I saw it. Love it. No complaints from me. But I did wonder what happened to Ethan Coen. And then, lo and behold, in 2024, this year, he released Drive Away Dolls. And now this film is, and by he, I mean Ethan Coen. This film is an American super sexed up screwball crime caper romp. The story unfolds in Philadelphia in 1999, where Jamie and Sookie's relationship crumbles due to infidelity. And after their breakup, Jamie joins her friend Marion on a road trip to Tallahassee, Florida, using a drive-away car service. My understanding of a drive-away car service is basically a certain group of people need a car to get from one place to another. People will rent those vehicles and drive them to a specific destination, you know, in the other place, and then they just drop it off there. They don't have to take it back to the original spot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And again, this took place in the late 90s, so, you know, it's a little dated in that way, but it doesn't feel that way to me. You know, I don't know. Anyways, I digress. After their breakup, there being Jamie and Sookie's, Jamie joins her friend, as I said, Marion, on a road trip to Tallahassee, Florida, using a drive-away car service. However, due to a mix-up, they accidentally take a car booked by criminals for their illegal cargo. As Jamie encourages Marion to embrace spontaneity and adventure, they inadvertently become entangled with the criminals' affairs. The journey takes a wild turn involving a briefcase with the mysterious contents, a decapitated head, and a chase across states. The film navigates themes of freedom, friendship, and the unexpected twist of life, all set against the backdrop of a comedic road trip gone awry. Now, admittedly, stepping into the world of drive-away dolls was an intriguing experience. I can't take that away from the film. In the most screwy, wacky Coen Brothers movies, this is right there among them in terms of performance and humor, okay? But all of that said, you know, I can't say that without admitting that there are disappointments here. The film's bold attempts at being risque and audacious often felt undermined by the lack of clear direction, I would say. It seemed as though the script could have probably benefited from additional revisions to kind of sharpen its focus and enhance its overall coherence. I don't know. It's a little too loose for my taste. And I can think of a lot of movies, including the Coen Brothers movies, that are loose. But I feel like Drive Away Dolls lacks a certain gusto that those other films possessed. And I think part of that could be just really kind of narrowing down and trimming down to really get to the, you know, the real meat and potatoes of the narrative. So when looking at something like The Big Lebowski, there is a lot of meandering in that movie, but the writing is actually really, really tight and functions as a proper noir on its own. Even if we get a couple of hilarious dipshits acting like detectives, basically. You know what I mean? So The Big Lebowski is exceptional in that way. It works. It functions as a noir. Fargo is a dark comedy, kind of neo-noir, basically. Really, really works. Every bit of detail is there. Every scene matters, you know, and it doesn't just kind of meander aimlessly. And I think that Drive Away Dolls kind of suffers from that a bit. Now, watching this film felt reminiscent of kind of a sloppy exploitation B movie in some ways as well, with kind of equal pros and cons. And it fails to deliver the promised slapdash fun. There was a palpable dissatisfaction with how the film's concept was executed, I guess. Kind of left me yearning for more cohesion and polish. Despite this, the film managed to kind of straddle genres fairly confidently, I'd say, blending a stylishly violent neo-noir, and it does get violent, even if the violence is silly, with a self-aware kind of queer road trip. However, this mix of mismatched genre styles was a point of contention for me, I guess, making it difficult for me, or for the film rather, to kind of resonate fully with me. I will say that this film, from what I was reading about the movie, and I read that Ethan was kind of working on this film back in like the early 2000s, I believe, which makes a lot of sense as you watch this and you see it. This would have been probably hit way harder in the year, say, you know, 2001 or something, than it does now. And I'm not saying that that is the reason I feel these things, but it is something notable that I wanted to bring up here. So, balancing a unique vision with audience expectations is always a complex endeavor, period. Okay. Especially in filmmaking, and Drive Away Dolls exemplifies this challenge. The film's genre blending ambitions, while commendable, often led to a disjointed narrative that struggled to maintain a consistent tone. So that's kind of where I sat with some of my criticisms there. But there are also some just really stupid plot points in the latter half of the film that kind of left me rolling my eyes, and not in like a silly way, but like a Jesus Christ, you know, that kind of a thing. All I have to say is a dildo collection comes into play, and I'm just like, why is this a plot point? Like, it's just not like funny to me. I don't have a problem with dildos, like, to each their own. I'm just saying, like, this, it's just... it just seems like they're trying, back to the risque, it seems like it's trying to be risque or like kind of overly silly. And it just, that stuff just does not land for me at all. So for me, the tone was just kind of off, and it lacked an impact in the end that I was hoping for. Now, despite these criticisms, several aspects of Drive Away Dolls were indeed well executed. I think the dialogue stood out, reminiscent of almost more of a Quentin Tarantino than a Coen brothers in some ways, featuring animated and hyperbolic characters that brought a certain vibrancy to the film. Now, this lively writing was a relative high point, I'd say, showcasing the potential for sharp, engaging interactions. Now, the lead performances by Margaret Qualley and Geraldine Viswanathan were notable standouts, I would say. Their chemistry and individual portrayals were compelling enough, providing at least a semblance of an emotional core to the film, though I don't think this movie is an emotional movie at all. Okay. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if there is any heart or emotion, the best you're going to get is from them. All right. The two lead performances injected a much needed energy and depth into the characters, making them a pleasure to watch most of the time. And again, Ethan Coen, I don't know if he's the brother that loves all the wacky, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Raising Arizona type stuff. But there is a moment where Margaret Qualley, like, she's driving and they have a tire blowout, and it just cuts like to the tire blowing up and then back in. And they're just like, the way their mouths are, it's almost like, what do you call it? Like, a freeze frame or something. Like, they're acting in freeze frame, even though the film isn't freezing. But they're just, it's just like this really hyperbolic expression and screaming. And I just thought that stuff was kind of funny in a very Coen brothers way. So, you know, that's cool. I digress again. So the last thing I'm going to say real quick is the noir elements of the film added a layer of complexity and style. I thought, even if they meander a bit too much for it to really feel like solid noir, I think it kind of gets lost a bit, but I was into that. Now, listen, I am a complete film noir mark. Okay. I am the guy that, like, if there's film noir in something, I'll probably be into it to some degree, or at least it will be tolerable unless it's really terrible noir stuff. This is not great noir, but it kept my attention. And without it, I think this film would have really bombed for me. Okay. So this was part of its saving grace. Yeah, I think the complexity and style that the noir brings is cool, even if I think it falls off base at times, like I said. And these elements really hint at a cinematic style reminiscent of the Coen brothers' early works, though Drive Away Dolls only occasionally, really if ever, reaches those heights. This stylistic nod brought a certain richness to the film, I think, even if it wasn't fully realized. So Drive Away Dolls is a film that had the potential to be a captivating genre-blending adventure, but fell short in its execution, I think. While it struggled with direction and coherence, the engaging dialogue, standout lead performances, and stylish noir elements provided glimpses of what could have been a truly memorable cinematic experience. Now, I have to admit, I do miss the Coen brothers duo, only because of the films that I love so much, and specifically that 90s era Coen brothers. Man, do I wish. Now, listen, I love Burn After Reading. I love a lot of their 2000 stuff as well. You know, No Country for Old Men, The Man Who Wasn't There, et cetera, et cetera. So we can even toss that in there. I miss that as well. They're just so talented. But Drive Away Dolls doesn't compare to those works really at all, I don't think. And although I don't particularly dislike the film, it only earned a rating of 2.5 out of 5 for me. So if you agree or disagree, please let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts at Medium Cool Pod on Instagram, or you can email me at mediumcoolpod@gmail.com. With that said, I will be back in a moment to, send you guys off and do a little what's coming out in theaters this week. So I'll be right back. All right, like I said, if you have feelings about Drive Away Dolls, hit me up, MediumCoolPod on Instagram and MediumCoolPod@gmail.com. Would love to hear your thoughts on this film. It is not doing great, neither critically nor, just general audience. But I do think in many cases I see really extreme reactions to it, and I do fall kind of smack dab in the middle because there are parts that really hold this back from being great. But then there are, some things that are really fun and better than most things that come out. So give it a shot. Get your own opinion. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear it. Out this week, coming out Thursday and Friday, basically, the big movie is Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. This is coming out in theaters, IMAX, the whole deal. Hey, if you are really into kind of kids movies, or you have kids of your own, you want to go to the movies, the Garfield movie's coming out. And then on Disney Plus, there is a Beach Boys documentary that I'm pretty excited about. I'm looking forward to checking that out. But yeah, so that's what's coming out. Check out Furiosa. I'm planning on checking it out as well, and I will try to get up a review on the podcast as soon as I am able to see it. So all that said, thank you all so much for listening. And as always, good night, good luck, and take it easy.